So I'm going to give him a name. For the purpose of this message, his name is Man-Man. Everybody say Man-Man. Because the Bible said it was a man. So we're going to call him Man-Man. Because I don't know his name. I don't know his age. I don't know any other identifier. So we're just going to call him Man-Man because I want you to know that you can put yourself in this story. Because every one of us, at some time in our lives, we've been a man-man. The only thing we know about man-man is the Bible says he's a man with an unclean spirit. Everybody say unclean. That word unclean, you look it up in the Greek. I won't give you the Greek word. I don't want to mess it up. But the Greek word literally means an unclean or impure in thoughts or life. He was unclean or impure in his thoughts or his life. But I want to tell you something. Before you sit there with your religious face and you judge man-man, let me remind you that we've all been guilty at times of having unclean, help me somebody, and impure thoughts, and sometimes unclean, help me, and impure lives. If you don't want to witness, just look straight ahead. Act like you never had that in your life. But I don't want to judge man-man, and I don't want you judging me. I'm not going to judge you because we've all had unclean. Tell your neighbor, I know you. You've had unclean and impure thoughts. Can I get one witness in the house? The rest of y'all are lying. You've had unclean and impure thoughts. How do I know? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. I want you to see it on the screen. See what it says. This is Paul saying to the church folk, to the saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, praise dance, praise break folk. Do you not know, listen to this, that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Watch what it says. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators are people who have sex outside of their marriage, outside of marriage at all. It's the Greek word porneia, which includes all pornography. Nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals. This is New Testament. Nor homosexuals. No, I know we don't like to talk about that today, but it's in the Bible. Paul is saying, even after grace, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. Talking to the church. Nor thieves. Some of y'all. I ain't never been a homosexual, but you've been a thief. You lying thief. You've been a thief before. Before you judge man-man. Nor covetous. That's wanting things that don't belong to you. Nor drunkards. Y'all ain't got to say nothing about that. Nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. But watch verse 11. And such were some of you. He's talking to the church, Pastor Chris. He said, and such were some of you. Look at the name. He said, talking about you. Oh, you were such. You used to be. I can't get no help on this side. I said, you used to be. You used to be one of them. I don't know which one of them you were, but you were one of them. At least one of them. I can tell you, we have people sitting right in here in this church right now who are former fornicators. I can't get no help. Former idolaters, former adulterers, former homosexuals, former sodomites, former thieves, sitting right up here next to you. That if the person sitting next to you told you that whole testimony, you might grab your purse, grab your bags, and switch your seat. But all of us have something in our past that preclude us from judging man-man. Tell your neighbor, don't judge man-man. Don't judge man-man. You were washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The issue with man-man is that this unclean spirit controlled his life. He wasn't just dabbling. He was overtaken. Mark 5 and verse 3 tells us he's living in the tombs. He's dwelling in the tombs, in the cemetery, in the graveyard. We don't know if the unclean spirit drove him there into the tombs, because it's possible that hanging in the tombs is what messed him up in the first place. In other words, when you hang around darkness, that's why I laugh at, and in fact, I almost have to cry for folk who somehow, I got a report the other day of some person who used to go to this church, and they tried to discourage somebody else till they found out that this person now goes to this church, and they said, well, you know, got to be careful because they're going to try to tell you who you can hang with. First of all, I don't ever try to tell you who you can hang with, but I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. And if the folk you hang with are not the kind of folk you need to hang with because you think you all strong. You can't handle hanging with somebody because you still have the same proclivities. You still have the same tendencies. You've not yet been fully delivered. You're not strong enough to hang with the weed heads, and you still kind of itching. But you need to change your group. Help me, somebody. So we don't know that maybe it was the fact that he was hanging in the tombs that opened the door for the enemy to come in. Isaiah 65 and verse 4 in the Amplified Classic Bible says this. Talks about those who sit among the graves trying to talk with the dead. Oh, help me. They sit among the graves trying to talk with the dead. Be careful when you allow grief in this world and the customs of this world to have you go sitting in graveyard trying to talk to your grandmama. Baby grandma's not there. Hopefully she went up. I'm hoping she didn't go down, but she's not there. But the Bible says there are those who sit among the graves trying to talk with the dead, and they lodge among the secret places or caves. This is like secret lodges, secret societies where familiar spirits were thought to dwell. That's why I warn people about dabbling in other religions. I warn people about dabbling in New Age practices. This Pastor Kim was talking about earlier when she was talking about people burning all the candles and burning all the sage and got the healing bowls and all the things our folk are doing out there trying to find answers, trying to find peace, trying to find healing and wisdom and prosperity. Baby, son, it's in Jesus. And it's always been in Jesus. But I warn about that. I warn about New Age practices. I warn about secret societies. Help me, somebody. I warn about joining fraternities and sororities. You college kids better listen to me. I warn you about joining some fraternities and sororities. And I don't care who endorses it. I know the Bible. Because when you join fraternities and sororities and the Masons, I have some ex-Masons in here. I have some former frat brothers and sorority sisters in this house who've had to renounce their allegiances because what they know is when they join, they had to pledge their devotion to idol gods. And when you pledge in ski wheat, you're actually pledging to idol gods. I don't care if it's the Divine Nine or the other 25. It's all idolatry. What people don't realize, they say, oh, it's just a community service. What you don't realize is you're now hanging in the tombs. And you open a portal to the enemy because the devil is looking for a way to get into your life. And you don't even know what you're dealing with. You're dealing in mystic societies and secret societies. And you don't even know what you're messing around. And you don't even know. You're opening the door, the window, the portal for the enemy to come and enter into your life. And while you stepping on the set, here comes the devil. I got him. I warn you about necromancy, talking with the dead. I warn you about ancestral worship. This whole drive among African Americans to worship and deal with the ancestors. And Isaiah 65 verse 4 specifically warns about that. Y'all better hear this preacher here. Y'all were louder three or four minutes ago, but now y'all quiet. But you got to figure, why did this man end up like this? He wasn't born this way. Oh, I'll leave that alone. Tell your neighbor, he wasn't born this way. The Bible says in Mark 5, verse 3 and 4, the Bible says this man had his dwelling among the tombs and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. The Bible tells us that this man was such a menace to society that the people tried everything within their power to control him. But man, natural men, cannot control demons. Today, if man were here, they were Baker Act man. Today, if man were here, they would incarcerate man. Even to the point of institutionalizing man. We were driving on our way back from Jacksonville here on Friday, and we drove right by the state mental institution. I forgot what county, what city we were in. But we drove right past that. And if you know about that, you can feel, an oppression. If you're sensitive, you can feel an oppression. Because the reason people are in those institutions, the reason why they went mental in the first place, is because they were overcome by demonic power. And so when you get them all together in one building, you have a den of demonic oppression. You can drive by and just sense it. This man would have been institutionalized for his episodes. But the problem was Satan overtook him. Man couldn't help himself. That's what it's like to be addicted. Can I get a witness? What it's like to be caught up. Anybody ever been caught up in something? Ain't nobody on this side. Anybody been caught up in? I can't get caught up. Brethren, if a man be overtaken under a fall, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So it's talking about Christians can get caught up. Now, I'm going to ask you one more time. Any of y'all ever been caught up? Y'all be scared to raise your hand because I want the pastor to know I've been caught up before. Child, I know you. You can't fool nobody. When you're caught up, when you're addicted, when you're overtaken by sin, the thing about it, sinners can't help themselves. 2 Timothy 2, verses 25 and 26. I want you to see what it says. 2 Timothy 2, verse 25 and 26. It says, really, that the only hope for sinners is that when we share the gospel with them, that God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may what? Now, what did Jesus say happens when you know the truth? It'll make you free. So, God, our prayer is for sinners, and I got some sinners in here today. I'm not calling you, I'm not picking on you. I'm talking about, we know if you're not born again, the Bible calls you a sinner. You might be a good sinner, a nice and a kind sinner, but you're still a sinner. And when you're a sinner, you can't help yourself. How do I know? Because it says that the hope is that God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses. That means sinners are not in their right mind. And then watch it says, watch what it says, and escape, help me out, the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So sinners can't help but sin. I didn't get any help from the elders. I said sinners can't help but sin. Come on now, you remember when you used to be a sinner? You couldn't help yourself. Oh, I can stop smoking weed anytime. Prove it. I can stop cussing. I can stop drinking. Prove it. You can't. Because when you're in sin, a sinner, you're captive. Sinners in the world believe somehow that they're the ones that are free. That we in the church are the ones who are bound. But the Bible says whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Bible says that we look into the perfect law of liberty. So the law, the word, is what liberates us. So now there are things in the world that I could do, but I don't have to. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. So there are things that I could do, but I don't have to. But when you're a sinner, there are things that you could do and you have to, because you can't stop yourself. Who am I talking to in this place? So man couldn't help himself. Look at Mark 5, verse 5. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Man wanted help. I said, man wanted help. He was crying out, but it looked like he was acting out. Help me, somebody. It looked like he was acting out, but the Bible says he was crying out. Doesn't it say that? He was crying out and cutting himself with stones. Isn't it interesting the uptick we've seen among young adults and youth and teenagers who are spending their days and secretly cutting themselves? And they wear long sleeves and they wear hoodies all the time, not because they're cold, but because they're hiding the scars of where they have been cutting themselves, because they're crying out for help, because they are controlled, or they are possessed, or they are being oppressed by demonic activity, and nobody can help them. The medication is not helping. The whipping ain't helping them. The jail, the JDC ain't helping them. They're crying for help because they don't want to be like this. Nobody wants to be driven by demons. And they're crying out and cutting himself with stones. Man was helpless and man was hopeless until one day. I said until one day, a man named Jesus showed up on the shores of Gadara. How many of you remember the day when you felt like you were helpless and hopeless, but Jesus showed up in your life? Don't fool me now. How many of y'all remember the day, the moment, the hour? I want you to give God the biggest shout you can right now, because you thank God for the day, for the moment, for the hour that Jesus showed up in your life. And ever since that day, your life has changed. Ever since that day, you've never been the same. Ever since that day, you have joy in the midst of sorrow. You have hope in the midst of the storm. Ever since that day, you have peace. Ever since that day, you're not perfect yet. Tell somebody, you ain't perfect yet. Oh, but I'm getting better. Oh, but I'm getting better. Oh, I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind. Before Jesus showed up, I couldn't stop myself. Before Jesus showed up, I couldn't help myself. Before Jesus showed up, I was cutting myself. I was hurting myself. But now I've been changed. since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. This man was in a pickle, in a prison within his own body. But one day Jesus showed up. I believe today Jesus is here for somebody who you've been struggling. You've been wandering. You've been in trouble. You felt helpless. You've even felt hopeless. And you even at times said, God, if you're real, I need you to help me. If you don't do something today, this might be my last day on this planet. Matter of fact, some of you in this room may have even tried to take your own lives because you are helpless and hopeless. I have good news for you, baby. I have good news for you, young man, that Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, he's here. He's the Savior of the world. He's the Redeemer. He's the Healer. He's the Deliverer. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the bright and the morning star. You ain't got to live in darkness the rest of your life. Jesus is here. Somebody shout, Jesus is here. He's here. He's here. I said he's here. No, notice when he comes, Jesus doesn't come without a purpose. The Bible, I want to, if I can skip through the story, verse 8 says, For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Jesus recognized, he saw the same behavior everyone else saw, but he recognized the source of it. Many times we can try to beat a child because of the symptoms. Y'all better say something. We can incarcerate folk because of the symptoms. But if you never deal with the source and the reason why they're acting out, the reason why they can't control their mental state, the reason why they keep having episodes, if we don't deal with that, you can beat them with 12 belts at the same time and it's not going to change anything. I know I got beat. I can't tell the story. My brother's here. He might have flashbacks himself. My parents had a belt called the shark. I know y'all against child abuse, but it wasn't child abuse. It was child disabuse to keep me from getting beat by the police. Y'all better say something. My daddy would say, son, I beat you so the police don't have to. I can't get no help in this Presbyterian church. He said, son, I beat you so the police don't ever have to. It was this abuse. Jesus said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. I got to skip for the sake of time. I got to skip through this. Verse 13. And at once Jesus gave them the devil's permission. The devils didn't want to leave the area. Then the unclean spirits went out. Jesus said, come out. Verse 8. Verse 13, the unclean spirits went out. They went out. Now, you and I don't know how long the devil took to get man so messed up. Because it didn't happen instantaneously. It happened slowly, gradually over time. And that's why you can't afford to keep messing around with the devil. The Bible says give no place to the devil. Because if you give him room, he'll come in and slowly begin to twist you. Slowly begin to entice you. Slowly begin to indoctrinate you with his doctrine. And it takes the devil sometimes a long time to get you messed up. But Jesus, in an instant, y'all not catching this. This man had been messed up for so long, but one encounter with Jesus, and this man was instantly delivered. Somebody say instantly delivered. Instantly delivered. All we know is that it took one day for Jesus to change this man's whole life. I'm praying that somebody in this room today gets your breakthrough, gets your brand new life today. I don't care how long you've been strung out, addicted, depressed, and abused, and confused. I don't care how long you've been battling. I don't care how long you've been dealing with all the stuff you've been dealing with. Just one moment, one encounter with Jesus Christ will change your life in an instant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I got to speed through this. So let's see what happens next, what I want to deal with today. Because the Bible says that Jesus delivered man, that's what I call him, from Satan. But we notice different reactions to his deliverance. Verse 14, those who fed the swine fled, and they told it. Somebody say they told it. In the city, in the country. So those who witnessed what happened, they started to tell it. You don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. Y'all missed it. The ones who witnessed it told it. But you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. Hallelujah. And what happens in verse 15? I want to read verse 15. I want you to look it on the screen from the Amplified Classic. It says that they came to Jesus and looked intently and searchingly at the man who had been a demoniac. They looked at him up and down. They recognized that's man, is that AG? Is that Coop? Is that Rail? I don't know. Is that Jonathan? I remember Jonathan. Is that Don? You can insert your own name. It looks like it, but I ain't never seen man sitting. Man was always pacing. Man sit down, try to sit down, and he just can't sit down. Is that man sitting? Is that man with clothes on? We used to man flashing everybody. He had an unclean spirit. Y'all better catch this. Impure. That's why they tried to chain him up, because with impure, unclean thoughts, you'll do anything with anybody. That meant the little girls weren't safe. The grown women weren't safe. The little boys weren't safe. The grown men weren't. Y'all ain't saying nothing back to me. Because man had an unclean spirit. And so when you get an unclean, perverted spirit, you'll do anything with anybody at any time for any amount. Or for nothing. Y'all, I wish I had a church here that says, y'all so deep and wonderful. I can't tell the truth to y'all. Y'all so deep and wonderful. Some stuff you never thought you'd ever do. Y'all ain't saying much to me. So they see him. He's clothed. He's got clothes on. Because they were used to him always taking his clothes off. Flashing. I've seen it. Seen folk that have mental episodes, they run, they take their clothes off. But he's sitting there, he's clothed. And then in his right mind, I ain't seen man in his right mind since 72. In his right mind, some of y'all ought to remember Jacket Man. Y'all remember Jacket Man? Some of y'all remember I forgot what we called him, man. He walked everywhere like this. Y'all remember that man? Just walk all over town. Just everywhere. You see him all on 34th Street, by the mall, down 9th Street, south side, north side, uptown, downtown, just everywhere. Walking. Why? Not in his right mind. Notice what it says here in Amplified. The same man. They're baffled. It's the same man who had the legion of demons, and they were seized with alarm and struck with fear. In other words, they were so shocked to see man acting normal that it scared them. They said, this can't be the same man. We know. That's how much Jesus can change your life. To the folk who recognize you, don't recognize you. Somebody say, Lord, change me. To the folk who recognized me don't recognize me. I want to be conformed to your image. I want to be conformed to your likeness. I want to look like you more and more every day. I don't want to look like what I used to look like. I want to be what I used to be. I don't want to go where I used to go. I don't want to do what I used to do, Lord. Lord, change me until they don't recognize me no more. And they got to say, Devin, is that you? The same man. Notice this. Let me keep going. I'm almost done. Tell your neighbor, he's almost done. Verse 16, and those who saw it told them how it happened. It's not the witnesses who were telling it. Now they're telling how. They're telling how Jesus delivered this man. Now, I got to keep moving. Verse 17. Watch this. This is the crazy part right here, Joe. This is the crazy part. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. Now, your region has been on lockdown. Your region has been on red alert for 27 years because Man has been terrorizing the whole region. All of a sudden, Man gets delivered and they want Jesus to leave. If that ain't stupid going to seed, I don't know what is. They're begging him to leave. Or maybe they mad because they're pigs. He killed our pigs. What are we going to do for the 4th of July now? Can't nobody eat no turkey bacon? Man killed our pigs. Tell your neighbor, don't worry about the pigs. Don't worry about the pigs. Man is free. Man is delivered. Man is a changed man. Don't worry about your doggone pigs. God can give the pigs back. But watch this. The people begged Jesus to leave. But in verse 18, and when Jesus got into the boat, he who had been demon possessed begged him that he might be with him. This is how you know you're saved or just religious. Because when you're just religious, when there's a move of God, you try to get rid of it. You try to know, we got to cut church off short today. We've been in church too long and there's too many things happening. I'm kind of concerned all these young folk coming in with all these tattoos and I'm concerned about these folk. They don't look like us and we need the Spirit of God to leave. We only got an hour for service because I don't have time for Jesus to be doing all this stuff. But when you're really saved, you don't beg Jesus to leave. You beg him, I just want to be with you. I want to be with you more than anything. I ain't got time. I don't care about the football game, the basketball game. I don't care about the club no more. I don't care about who's on TV. I don't care who's coming down the aisle. I just want to be with Jesus more and more every day. I wake up thinking about him. I go to sleep thinking about him. I eat thinking about him. I go to school. I go to work thinking about Jesus. I ride in my car. Me and Jesus in my car. I'm begging to be with Jesus. How many real saved folk do I have in this place today? All I want is you. All I want is more and more and more, because I'm saved for real. I'm saved for show. I'm saved for real. I'm saved for show. I want to be with Jesus. Tell your neighbor, I don't know about you, but I want to be with Jesus more and more. He's the one that changed my life. He's the one that saved my soul. He's the one that turned my life around. He's the one that healed my body. He's the one that gave me peace in my mind. He's the one that healed my broken heart. He's the one that gave me new life. I'm glad to see you, but I came this morning to be with Jesus. He begged to be with Jesus. That's what it looks like when you're forgiven. You love. Luke 7 verse 47. There's a story. Jesus was in a house eating with some religious folk. And this woman, this prostitute, Pastor Chris. A prostitute. Came and brought an expensive jar of perfume. She broke what we call that alabaster box. And she poured that perfume on his head and on his feet. And she began to cry and wash his feet with her tears. She began to dry his feet with her hair. And the people around, the religious folks sitting in the audience, said, if this man was a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this was. And he wouldn't let this kind of woman touch him. And if he was really a man who loved people, he would have rather had her go sell that oil and go give to the poor. Jesus, can I paraphrase? He said, shut up. That's me. That's not Jesus. That's just me speaking for Jesus. He said, shut up. Shut up. He said in verse 47 of the Easy to Read version, he said this, I tell you that her many sins are forgiven. This is clear because she showed great love. People, watch this, who are only forgiven only a little will love only. Can I just paraphrase in our own vernacular? Those of you who you always ate an apple and you always drank 8 glasses of water a day and you always were nice to people and you never cussed, you never smoked, you never drank, you never slipped and tipped and dipped and tripped, you never was in the back in the booth in the dark in the night, you never ever tipped out, you never ever cheated on nobody, you never ever slept around, you never ever did anything, you were always right and you always did everything right. When you get saved, you just praise the Lord. But do I have any witnesses that when you were tore up from the flow up, when you were jacked up from the rack up, when he saves your soul, you ain't playing no games. I love me some Jesus. I love me some Jesus. And if you don't love me, get out of my way. I love me some Jesus. I'm going to give him praise. I'm going to give him glory. I'm going to pour my oil. I'm going to worship. I'm going to shout. I'm going to dance. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to sing. I'm going to run. I'm going to dance. I'm going to leap. I'm going to serve him till the day I die. Because if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? I'd be a sinner dying on my way to a devil's hell. But he reached way down. Some of y'all, he had to reach way down. Some of y'all, Jesus just had to reach over and get you. But some of us, he had to reach way. That's why I'm glad we still sing about the blood that will never lose its strength. It reaches for some of y'all noble folk to the highest mountain. But as for me, I'm so glad that same blood, it flows to the lowest valley. He didn't find me on the mountain. He found me deep down. That's why the songwriter say, if you have to reach way down, Jesus will pick you up. If he has to reach way down, Jesus, he'll pick you up. Anybody in this place, he had to reach way down to get you? Why don't you give God a praise for reaching way down? All right, sit down. Let me finish. Give me a couple more minutes. Couple more minutes. Some folk, you guys just gotta catch this. Some folk beg to get out of church. This man said, I'm begging to be with Jesus. I know what he's done for me. So he begged him that he might be with him. Verse 19, however, Jesus didn't want him stuck in his prayer closet. Y'all missed it. See, I want to help you here because we can be so in love with Jesus that we forget somebody needs to hear what he's done for us. And we can spend our time testifying to other saints. Fellowship and food, fun, and fellowship in the church. Food, fun, and fellowship in the church. Every church, food, fun, and fellowship. Every church, every year, food, fun, and fellowship. Food, fun, and fellowship with each other. Because I just want to be with Jesus. I'm going to read the Bible all day. I'm going to be in my prayer closet for 6 hours. I'm going to pray in tongues for 3 hours. Wonderful. Because I want to be with Jesus. Great. But Jesus says, I don't need you to do all that. Y'all, I don't need you to do all that. You can pray with me while you're on your way somewhere. Pastor, you saying we ain't got to pray? I'm telling you, yes, you have to pray, but I'm telling you, he doesn't want you stuck with him, and somebody else needs to know what him did for you. Watch this. How do I know? Jesus is gathering followers, ladies and gentlemen. He's gathering followers everywhere he goes. This man begged, can I be with you? Jesus said, no. What kind of savior is that says, no, you can't be with me? It's the kind of savior that says, I didn't come to die for your sins, but for the sins of the whole world. I didn't come just to save you. I came to save your mama and your auntie and your cousin and your son and your brother and your great-great-granddaddy. And I came to save that estranged child. I came to save everybody you know. I came to save your friends, your relatives, and your neighbors. He said, no. He said, go home to your friends. This is Friends Day. Go home to your friends. And tell them, oh, Jesus, tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. In other words, this man didn't watch this. He didn't say, well, wait till you finish ground school. He didn't say, wait till you learn 3 scriptures. He didn't say, wait until you learn the Romans road to salvation. He said, you just got saved. You just got delivered. Here's your message. Go and tell your friends the great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. Now, I'm not telling you not to go through ground school and learn the Bible. I want you to learn. You got to learn the Bible. But you don't have to wait till you learn the Bible to be a witness. Tell your neighbor, you don't have to wait to be a witness. Tell somebody else, you don't have to wait to be a witness. As soon as you know God changed you, as soon as you feel that heaviness come off your heart, you can go tell somebody, gotta tell somebody what the Lord has done. What's your message? Look what the Lord has done. You know in the scriptures, no. Look what the Lord has done. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. My friends, they are Muslim. You ain't got to argue Quran versus Bible. Just tell them, you know me. Look what the Lord. Now, Pastor, my family, they Jehovah's Witness. You ain't got to argue about the Jehovah's Witness Bible and our Bible. No, just tell them, look what the Lord. No, you know what I'm saying? My friends, they're atheists. You ain't got to try to prove to them God exists. Say, look at me. I'm proof that God exists. What's your message? Look what the Lord has done. And let's round it out right here. Why did Jesus tell him, go home to your friends? Question, why should we tell our friends? This is Friends Day, isn't it? Why must we tell our friends what the Lord has done for us? Number one, watch this. Your friends, catch this, sometimes know things about you your family doesn't know. Y'all got 5 more minutes? This is it. Y'all, can anybody testify? Anybody? Am I right about this? There are some things your friends. Terrell, don't raise your hand. You're sitting next to your mama, Terrell. Don't raise your hand. There are some things your friends know that your mama does not know. And so your mama didn't know you was that bad off. Your mama didn't know what happened after the prom. Your mama didn't know what happened when you went off to school. Because you ain't told mama that. How everything going? Oh, it's great. Everything's good. Yeah, everything's good. Mama, yeah, everything's good. Your mom, come on now, help me out. Your brother and sister don't know everything that some of your friends, help me out in this place. Am I right about this? Your friends, your road dogs, your ace boon coons, they know some stuff that your family doesn't know. Y'all ran together. You parted together. You fought together. And when your friends hear your testimony, they will know that if Jesus can save you, he can save anybody. I dare you to put your hand on yourself and say, if Jesus can save me, he can save anybody. Now, some of your friends need to know that if he can save you, because they know you with your crazy self. They know you with your messed up self. They know your ratchet testimony. Because see, your mama is not in the same Facebook group as your friends. So there are pictures you post on Instagram that your mama can't see. And it's stuff that you don't want your pastor to find out. Who am I yelling at in this place today? But your friends know the real deal. So Jesus said, go home and tell your friends. Your ace, the one who you share your intimate secrets with. Number two. Everybody say number two. Your friends are probably dealing with the same issues. You got it, Chris. What did I say? Your friends. Did you? What did I say? Why? Because birds of a feather. So if y'all are running together, partying together, fighting together, cussing together, smoking together, laying together, whatever you were doing, they're dealing with the same issues. They're just still home. Which means that their case may not have gotten as bad as yours. But you know they're headed down the same path. We were running and doing the same things. Hanging out together. I just got caught up. They kind of bounced back before I did. I kind of got caught up. I got caught up out there, and we were both dating girls, and my nose was so wide open. I got caught up, and I'm struggling. We were both doing the same things. We were both hitting the same joint, and they went home because they had an exam in the morning. But I stayed and I hung out because I didn't have an exam, and I just got caught up a little longer, and so my mess was worse than their mess. But I know that my friends are headed in the same direction. And they need to know that Jesus can deliver them too. So go home and tell your friends. Somebody shout last one. Here it is. Your friends are your friends. Your friends are your friends. That's what it is. That's my friend. And the Bible says, Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times. So my friend, if I go to a restaurant and they have good bread pudding, good oxtails, good fish and grits and shrimp, good chicken wings and good sweet potato pie, oxtail rice, good cabbage. We walking down memory lane. Some of us were in Jacksonville this week, and we all ate at the Potter's House restaurant, the Bistro, boy, and that's how we were eating. And if they got good snow crab legs and good garlic, we had garlic trays. They served us garlic trays on Friday. How many of y'all know what a garlic tray is? Garlic. They served us garlic trays on Friday. Boy. When you know you've experienced something wonderful, you want your friends to experience it. And if you know Jesus has changed you, has saved you, has delivered you, has brought you out, then one of the first people you want to go to is your friends. Because, friend, I want you to know this joy that I have. I want you to know this peace that I have. I want you to know this deliverance, this freedom. I want you to know because you're my friend. And I want you to experience the same blessing because you're my friend. Friend, we've been through hell and high water. Friend, we were thick as thieves. Friends, we saw the worst of each other. But I met a man named Jesus who changed my life. And friend, I can't leave you out there like that. Friend, I can't leave you out there in the world in darkness. Friend, I can't leave you because I know if you stay on that path that you're on, because I was on that same path. Friend, if you stay there, it's not going to turn out well. And friend, I can't stand a thought of you and me dying. And I wake up in heaven and I look around through eternity and I never see you. What happened to my friend? Your friend went to hell because you didn't go tell your friend about Jesus. So we're under divine command to go home and tell our friends, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Look how he changed my life. Look how he saved me. Look at how he delivered me. I don't fight and cuss and smoke and drink, and I ain't caught up no more like I used to be. I'm not perfect. But I'm glad I'm not what I used to be. How many of y'all can think of some friends that you've left out there in the world that need to know the Jesus that you serve? How many of y'all know some friends out there who you parted with, ran with, and if they don't change their lives, they're going to end up in a mess, miserable, in a devil's hell? And I realize they can't change their lives any more than I could have changed my life. I was hopeless, helpless, bound. But a man named Jesus showed up one day. In this room, there is somebody in here who you feel like man, bound, addicted, struggling. You want to quit. You want to change. You want to turn your life around. And you've tried. I give you that. You've tried. You try to change your circle. Try to change your habits. Try to do better. I'm going to do better. But you find that you keep going back to the same place, doing the same things. The Bible says because you're taken captive by the devil to do his will, you're snared, you're trapped. Today I want to introduce you to Jesus. He's the only one who can come and change your life. And if you're in this place and say, I want to be changed, if that's you, I want you to come. I want you to be as bold as this man and come to this altar right now. because there's no hope in the world. There's no hope in society. There's no hope in any other avenue than Jesus Christ. He's the only one who has the power, the ability to change your life. Man was so desperate. He was crying out and cutting himself. Crying out, hurting himself. Crying out and destroying his own body, his own life, because he couldn't escape the prison of his own body. Listen to me, whoever you are, Jesus Christ is the answer. It's not found in men. It's not found in yoga. It's not found in therapy. It's not found in another counseling session. It's not found in whatever other thing you want to try. Acts 4 and 12, Jesus is the answer. There's no other name given whereby men must be saved in the name of Jesus. That's the only way that you're going to be saved and delivered. And whoever you are in this place, today is your day to meet Jesus. If you're sitting there saying, I know I need to go, but I'm nervous, just grab the person's hand next to you and say, walk with me. Go up here with me. Don't let embarrassment, shame, and don't let pride make you miss this moment. We don't know what day man would have cut himself and hit the wrong vein. What day he would have cut himself and hit that wrong vein without the ability to stop the bleeding. And man would have died in his mess, in his sin, imprisoned by darkness. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you're one event away from stepping off into eternity. But you're also one event away right now from stepping into the greatest abundant life you could ever dream of. You decide. Jesus Christ makes the offer to you. So I want you to come. I want you to come. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Those of you who are already born again and you know your walk with Jesus Christ, he's already made you free. I want you to minister to that person next to you, and I want you to ask him. I want you to check him. Make sure. I want you to minister to them. Let them know he's done great things for you. And if you need him, he'll minister to you today. Today is your day for deliverance. Today is your day for freedom. You don't have to live bound. You don't have to live afflicted. You don't have to live struggling. You don't have to live in that prison. Don't hold on to that life in the world so long that you lose out on eternal life. The Bible says this. Listen to this very carefully. The pleasures of sin are only for a season. So the Bible does admit that sin is pleasurable. It is. That's why we like it so much. But the Bible in the same verse says it's only for a season. It's only temporary. So sin feels good, makes you feel good. You enjoy it, but that enjoyment is not lasting. Because the devil is the one behind it, and his goal is to destroy your life. So he uses sin to get you trapped, to get you wrapped up. He uses pleasures of this world to get you wrapped and trapped until you can't get out. Now I'm going to ask this again in this place, wherever you are. I'm not going to keep asking. This is your moment. This is your moment. Whoever you are, I want you to come. I want you to come right now to this altar. I want you to come to this altar, wherever you are, because this is your moment to be healed, to be delivered, to be set free, to be saved. Whoever you are, whoever you are, don't let this moment pass you by. Jesus is here right now. He's here right now waiting to change your very life. If you came in here, you know you're not born again, you're not serving God, you need to be at this altar. I don't do the church thing. I'm not asking you to do the church thing. I'm asking you to receive Jesus. I'm asking you to receive Jesus. He's not coming for church members. He's coming for those who are born again. Born again people go to church. But you must be born again. I'm going to pray in about 20, 30 seconds. I'm going to pray. Those of you that are already saved, I want you to pray for those who are not. Because there are people in this room that are not saved. Pray that every stronghold of the enemy is broken over their lives. They got to be saved. Whoever you are, I want to pray for you right now. I want you to come before I close this altar. Before I close this altar. Whoever you are, this is your moment, your day, your hour. Jesus has been waiting on you your whole life. He's been patient, been merciful, been kind. It's only because of his mercy that you're not dead right now, because he's been keeping you. Even though we don't, you know, we didn't love him, we didn't serve him, he just watched over us because he's trying to give us time to come to him. You're not keeping yourself. You're not that smart. You're not that observant. You're not that powerful. You can't keep yourself. It's only by the power of Jesus Christ. All right. Is that it? Is that it? Is that it? Hallelujah. We'll pray for this one. Because the Bible says that all of heaven will rejoice over one. Heaven's about to go crazy. They're about to have a party in heaven over one. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to pray. Young man, just face this way. I just want you to see me. How old are you? 18. I love it. I love it. You have no clue how much Jesus loves you. You have no clue. It's more than any mother, a father, boyfriend, girlfriend, all that kind of stuff people get caught up in. It's more than all that. He loves us more than you have. He loved you so much, he died. If there had been nobody but you, he would have died for you. That's how much he loves you. God orchestrated this whole day for you. Now, there are others who can get in on this, but this, if nobody else comes, he made this, he set this whole service up just for you. That's how much he loves you. So I want you to lift those hands to God. Lift those hands. This is an act of surrender. We're going to all pray this prayer together. We're going to pray along with him like it's our first time. Every time I pray this prayer, I pray like it's my first time. Because I want to say, Lord, save me again. Save me some more. Say this. Say, dear God, in the name of Jesus, I come to you now in need of a Savior. I've been a sinner much too long. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. I can't deliver myself. I can't stop myself. I can't help myself. But you can help me. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for my sins. I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead just for me. I declare with my mouth that from this day forward, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. I am not my own. I belong to you from this day forward. I ask you, Father, to fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your spirit. Change me in every way. I give myself to you. I give myself away. Take my life and do something with it. Make me who you always wanted me to be. Make me everything you always wanted me to be. I belong to you. I'm your son and you're my father. Thank you for a brand new life. Now teach me how to serve you every day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God a praise for Kimani today. Come on, give God a praise for Kimani today. All of heaven is rejoicing. The Bible says heaven rejoices over one who comes to Jesus Christ. Heaven is rejoicing. Come on, join with heaven and rejoice over one of a Kimani who is coming on Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Listen, we're about to baptize Kimani. I want you to get baptized. We got everything you need. We got everything you need. Those of you that are getting baptized, Bashara, come up here real quick. Come up here real quick. I want y'all to follow this young lady out. They're going to follow you out. Is that how it's going to work? You're going that way? Okay. I want y'all to follow those who are getting baptized. Grab your things right now. You're going to follow Bashara Faulkner out. She's going to lead you to where you're going to get baptized and get prepared for baptism. So grab your things. You're being baptized. Grab your things right now. They're not going to leave you. Grab your things right now and follow her. Come up to the front. Come to the front. Come to the front. Okay, yeah, I know. Okay, we're going to baptize quickly. We're going to baptize Terrell first. He's getting ready to fly back to Toledo for school. And he said, Mom, I got to stay and get baptized. Mom, I got to get baptized. So y'all go ahead and get him prepared. And we're going to move very quickly because we want to make sure Terrell doesn't miss his flight. Amen. If I had a private jet, Mama, I'd fly him back home myself. One day I'll do that. I'm going to have a private jet. I'll fly him back home myself. You ain't gotta worry about that. Praise God. Praise God. Those that are visitors here, guests with us, we certainly thank you for being a part of our services today. And this whole day is worth it for just Kimani. It's worth it. There's nothing that's more important, more valuable to me than souls who get saved. Because we just snatched another one out of the grips of hell. Hell lost another one. And now he's free. Praise God. If you're a guest with us looking for a church home, church family, if you found that this is a place I really think I can learn and grow and thrive and develop as a Christian, we have a team that'll help you with that. Miss Crystal Martin, who is to my left, I don't know if, come up here. Let's do this. Stand up where they can see you. Amen. Come on, ma'am. She will help you with that process. As soon as, if you want to do that, just put your hand in there. I'll note it, and she'll help you with that process right now because we don't want to waste any time. If you're looking for a church home and say, this is my place I want to be, I see one right there. All right, just grab your things. Come on and follow her. She's going to help you with that. Praise God. Hey, are you Woody? Is that Woody? What? No, that's not. Okay, I thought you were Woody. Okay, all right. He kind of looked like Woody. Another young man we led to the Lord. All right, looking for him. Anybody else, you're looking to become a part of our church family, we'd love to have you. And she'll help you with that process. Go right down that hall into the cave. It's a dark, it's a dungeon where we torture people in that hall back there. People are like, I ain't going down that hall. I'm just joking. I'm just kidding. Praise God. Amen. We're glad to have every one of you here today. All of our guests, give all of our guests a big hand. So grateful for our first-time guests. Thank God for having all of our college students. Most of our college students are home right now, and some are just leaving, and then some are just arriving, like Tavion, just getting here. And so we appreciate all of you all being here. Amari, good to see you home. Amen. From Florida State. That's my school. Praise God. You chose the right one, baby. Amen. And praise God for all of you. Listen, we're back on Wednesday night for our midweek fellowship. There are no prayer Wednesday morning. It's spring break. Okay, so we're back Wednesday night for midweek fellowship. And then next Sunday, we're inviting all of our relatives, family. Amen. Y'all are like, oh, my family. I don't know about that, Pastor. Do it for Jesus, please. Just do it for Jesus. I know you don't like them. Or they don't like you. That's why your friends know more than your family does, right? The Bible says there's a friend that sits closer than a brother. Amen. But the Bible also says that a brother is born for the day of adversity. And so your family should matter to you. So let's invite them, bring them here to the house of God. And don't forget, we're going to culminate this whole month with our Easter weekend worship night on Friday the 29th. And then the 31st Easter weekend, we're going to have a big tent outside, 4,000 square foot tent. Don't dress up. Just going to be cool that day, chilling out that day. Amen. Grab hands of your neighbor. Let's be dismissed. Good to see Evangelist Warren. The Lord brought him through that surgery a couple weeks ago. Amen. Gabby being home. Gabby, well, I'm sorry, not because you're not from here, so, but with mom and dad and just visiting and so on and so forth. So that's good. And Fire Marshal Bill is with us, her friend. He has a fireman mustache right there. I love it. But he's actually a fireman. Firefighter, they call it. You can't say fireman anymore. You got to say firefighter because we've got to be politically correct. Good to see Don. He had been hit with the flu bug, and he's back. He's back. Good to see you, all of you. Looks good. Love you, too. I love you, too. Amen. Thank you, Father, for giving us this time today in your presence. Thank you for your mighty spirit. Thank you for saving and changing a life. We can all testify you've changed our lives, and we will do what you said. Go home and tell our friends the great things you have done for us. We'll just say, look what the Lord has done. We may not know all the scriptures, Lord, back and forth, but we know what you've done for us, and we'll go tell it everywhere we go. Bless us as we go from this place. Bless all those who are being baptized. Let them experience, Lord, just your glory. When they go under the water, let them have a vision, a sight of you. Let them come up feeling brand new in Jesus Christ. And I pray that each person, Lord, would experience tremendous blessings as we go with us as we leave this place. Keep us and bring us back Wednesday ready to experience more and more of your grace, your goodness, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 Pastor Kim and I love you, love you. Have a great day. Please, 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 before you leave, join us. We're going to baptize. Please stay and be a witness of those who are being baptized today. Don't rush home. This is so important. Please join us for that baptism service.